So the hospital called me, I think, on a Sunday night saying she really wasn't doing great and if I wanted to come back in. So I did. They set me up a cot right beside her. And it was lovely. And they had a couple of night nurses who were amazing. And the one gentleman was coming to check on her, and I said to him, "How am I going to know that she hasn't passed hours before?" And he's like, "Well, we're going to be constantly checking on her." And he came in and he checked on her, and I nipped to the bathroom. I came back, I just hugged her, told her I loved her. She passed away. And it was sad and beautiful. What's a little ironic, because when you and I did our first conversation, I had just purchased a ticket to head to England because my mum was sick. And I knew, I could tell that she just wasn't getting better. So I got to England, I went on my own and got her into hospital and spent hours with her. And unfortunately, she was just too systemically sick and just couldn't come back out of it. And I'm a fighter. I may have challenged the doctors along the way. I think they were thinking she was ready to kind of go into palliative care before I was. But we got to the point where we couldn't even get an IV in her. And so it was time. But an incredible blessing because the hospital called me, and this is in England, and we're talking about wards. It's not like you're in your own special room. And so the hospital called me, I think, on a Sunday night saying she really wasn't doing great and if I wanted to come back in. So I did. They set me up a cot right beside her, and it was lovely. And they had a couple of night nurses who were amazing. And the one gentleman was coming to check on her, and I said to him, "How am I going to know that she hasn't passed hours before?" And he's like, "Well, we're going to be constantly checking on her." And he came in and he checked on her, and I nipped to the bathroom. I came back, I just hugged her, told her I loved her. She passed away. And it was sad and beautiful and probably not what she would have desired in terms of she'd rather have been at home. And but it was, so it's a mixed, it's, I have lots of mixed emotions.
How would you describe, if you had to put it into one word that we would then map out, how would you describe the pain that you're feeling right now?
Loss. Yeah, loss. Angry.
We're going to go with angry because we know it's about the grief, but I think that we all have lots of different feelings around our loss, and anger is a common one. Tell me about the anger. What makes you angry?
I actually think this is so silly, but I'm angry because we didn't get a chance to talk about that as a option is not the right word, but as a possible outcome. We really hadn't talked about her not being around. I'm a little,
So you're angry at who? What?
the situation. I'm maybe a little angry at her that she wouldn't never discuss it. And you can't blame her, but something where I have thought quite often now that I'd like to, it's MUM.
Of course. Of course it is.
Something that I would want my kids to know
And then I think, what is it that I would want my kids to know? That I know that it's okay, that I'm ready. And
was she ready?
Well, it's interesting because she had been sick in the summer, and the doctor had said to me, do you have a DNR? And I'm like, well, we've never discussed it. And I asked her about it, and she's like, no, I don't want a DNR. I love my life. I drive. I'm independent. I'm not ready yet. This was in the summer. So she would have liked to have been able to come home from the hospital, still been able to drive, still had her life. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, she wasn't ready. But if she was not going to be able to have the quality of life, then she was ready. But we didn't really discuss it enough, mm-hmm. As I would have
liked. Sounds like she was a little stubborn.
Oh, my goodness.
At her, Does that make you angry a little bit, her stubbornness? But it's also something you loved about her.
Yes, it does, because the reason she was in the mess she was in is that she had a diabetic ulcer under her foot, and she refused to wear the ugly shoes. And so she brought this on herself a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that, yes, you're absolutely right.
So
that is part of why
vanity?
I love her. Oh, my goodness, yes. She was so vain. And she would admit that.
This is what my children are going to say about me, too. I'm just saying. And maybe a little vain.
She was a very interesting woman. Mm-hmm. The neighbors, she was 88, and she had a little dog. And my neighbors, her neighbors all around, absolutely loved her. They're devastated as they walk past the house that she's not there. Mm-hmm. Yet my brother and I sit there and go, she was so stubborn and so mean. And, you know, my kids loved their grandma because she was so feisty and so full of life, and mm-hmm. They loved her wicked sense of humor. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's just it's a sense of loss. Maybe a little loneliness. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So when COVID hit, she was not allowed out of her house. Mm-hmm. In England, she had two or three different diagnoses that wouldn't let her out of the house. So I FaceTimed her every single day. And every single day when I called her, she was up, dressed, made up, even though she couldn't go anywhere. And so after COVID, I then called her every other day. So it's a big change. Sorry, this is too raw.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It is raw, though.
It's just a change. The first day, I used to call her on the way to Costco. The first day I was back and I went to Costco, I sat in the stupid car park and just sobbed. Mm-hmm. And each day it's getting better, but it's really, honestly, Sundays and in the car, mm-hmm. I would call her in the car.
Right.
And so, yeah. It's just a change, but yeah, a little lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is that loneliness? What is that missing link for you?
I think it's
not just the loss, but the.
I think it's just the. A couple things. One, knowing that you have somebody to talk to, natter away all of your stupid things that she's actually really excited to hear because she's got nothing in her life. And my kids...
So she was your support.
She was, yeah. And that's so funny for me to even say that out loud, mm-hmm. because I have felt pressure for years that I was her support. So much pressure that I had to call her every day. I had to do this. I had to do that. I never would have expected
So there's a little bit of guilt there too, that you had that mindset, when really without her, you feel lonely.
I don't know if I feel guilt.
Okay.
I actually feel a little bit of joy that even though I did all of this for her,
it was for you.
The benefit that I got was much greater than I had realized.
Mm-hmm. And we can totally put joy there.
Yeah, I think that that is a, it's a sweet feeling. Mm-hmm. You wonder how many other things in your life that you think are a drudgery or, oh my goodness, I have to do this. But then when they're not there, you're like, oh, actually, I quite enjoyed that.
And then just the layers here, you know, it's like we started with anger, but then there's, you know, there's this loneliness. But you, because a lot of self-work that you've done, you can see that this balance of the joy is there. And, you know, how do we feed the joy instead of the anger, right? Because this one seems to want to come to the surface. It likes to be at the forefront.
Right. Another piece of the lonely related to the joy is my kids. I have four kids. Three aren't at home. They are all so sweet. There's so many joyful things that have come from my family in support of me, which has been lovely.
Mm-hmm. So your kids supporting you.
The kids, my daughter in particular, understands that I need sometimes just to chatter inanely. And so she'll let me do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's, I recognize it. And my husband has been incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
So bring, you know, kind of covering you with that.
Yeah.
To hide that loneliness or to show you that you're not alone.
Yes. To show me that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
But it's still, I didn't feel well yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed because I'm like, I am plenty old enough to be looking after myself. But who do you miss when you don't feel well? You miss your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And when you go through hardships, I know every time I've had a loss, the first person I want to talk to is my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is she still here?
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Treasure it.
Yeah, for sure. What else makes you angry?
Injustice makes me angry. You mean in general or about this?
Well, we can stay or we can go like in the past. What has made you angry? Is there an injustice specific that comes up?
No, injustice, what makes me angry. I don't feel anger very, it's not a big emotion that I have,
mm-hmm.
unless you are looking at injustice related to how my kids are treated or mm-hmm. I have a son with special needs, how he's treated, then I can become quite angry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, anger is really around injustice for mm-hmm. me. And so in terms of why do I feel angry about that, I just, it's, again, it's like, well, it's just, I'm really just a little angry that I didn't get that chance to have that conversation. And I'm blessed enough and I've worked on myself enough to be able to say, okay, then what do I want to do about that anger so that my kids don't feel that?
Mm-hmm.
So I use that as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel I'm stuck in it.
Yeah. And we'll just put here like your future, we're all going to die, right? Your future death and how the impact with your kids, right? So let's talk about this injustice that specifically around your son.
Because
your other loss, right? It's somewhat of a loss to have a special needs child because we lose some of the hopes and dreams that we had for our children. Talk to me about the anger that comes with the injustice around your son. You said how others treat him.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting the direction you just went. I had a very short period of grieving what we thought we were going to have to what we did have. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really blessed because I think a lot of people, it takes a lot of time to mm-hmm. be able to come from that. So it's more, many people don't see the injustice around any disability because they don't live it. And so I will tell you that getting him through school was a...
You like IEP meetings?
was years and years of fight or flight for me, stuck in a stress response. Mm-hmm. Took me 6 months after he left school before I could even say IEP or talk about school without tearing up. Mm-hmm. Just because it is so much more of a fight to get a child treated with respect, a child that is different, with respect and given the same types of opportunities to grow as somebody else. It's mm-hmm. not, I'm not a believer in, if you've got special needs, you just get put into the special education room. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's good for typical kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good for kids with special needs. Mm-hmm. And it's been a huge fight for me on that perspective. I get very...
passionate.
Passionate, yes. About injustice. Mm-hmm. On all shapes, on all forms.
And do you see a little bit of a connection here? And I want to just throw out a word, control. And not that you want to control things or people. Maybe a better word is understanding. You couldn't get mom to understand that maybe we should have these conversations. You can't. It's like a fight to get people to understand what it's like for your son and how, you know, he could benefit a whole group
right.
of people and how, mom, if we could have these conversations, how it would benefit me and my kids. Control might not be the right word. What would be a better word for you?
Well, that's interesting because... part of what I teach is around control. And if you can't impact the outcome, then that is something that if you're trying to keep control, it's just going to eat away at you and not do you any good. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's probably, you could call it control. I would say stubbornness about things being... just or right or easier for others mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I don't quite know.
Or heard.
Well, certainly heard, but mm-hmm. I think everybody wants to feel heard. Mm-hmm.
But I see you kind of choke up in situations where you didn't feel heard. And you were very good about pulling out the joy and pulling out the positives that are coming from some of that pain. But the tearing up comes when, you know, you're not being heard. This was a fight all those years because you weren't being heard.
I would say... the idea of not being heard is an absolute trigger for me. Mm-hmm. So yes, mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's not control. It's the idea of being heard and with that, respected for being, having something to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we go even deeper.
Yeah.
What about in your young adult life or in your childhood? When were you not heard?
Well.
Right? Because we know that those things, you know,
yeah.
when there's such an emotional connection, we know they come.
Yes. No, there is so much to not being heard. So did we put on here stubborn veins? Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you want me to go really deep, mm-hmm. I can tell you that as a child with ADHD, I probably wasn't the easiest to mm-hmm. understand why I kept forgetting things, why I'd leave things places. I love my father, but he is a misogynistic man, and women have their place, and they're supposed to do this, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to do that. And I'm a fiery individual with lots of passions.
And so it sounds like your mother was too.
So they were an interesting mix uh-huh. of their own issues. And
did you feel like your mom heard you? Sounds like she was kind of
fascinated
her own ego.
Yeah, I think later.
Okay.
Yes, later, yes. But so we have four children. She thought that was stupid to begin with. And then actually got pregnant again. And I think her first response was, "You stupid cow, why did you get pregnant?" Mm. And it came from her caring about me, but that's not how it... Mm-hmm. When we knew that our son was going to have Down syndrome, my parents had been divorced for years. I called my father to talk to him, to have him talk to my mother so that when I talked to her, she would give me the right response mm-hmm. because she probably wouldn't have responded particularly appropriately right off the bat. Mm. So I gave her a chance to do it right. And she did do it right, and she's been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. But you were scared she was going to say something negative about your son, or?
Yes, that she wouldn't respond in the supportive, mm-hmm. and deep down, it would have been out of concern for myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have to dig deep to get a lot of that stuff. And honestly, I've done a lot of therapy to really get fully the... Each person has their own issues, and when you're parents, you bring those in. Mm-hmm. And now I fully understand what my mom went through in her life as to why she behaved the way that she behaved.
And being a mother helps, right? As we raise our children, we realize and we can look back and...
Honestly, I think being a mother actually made it harder because I'd be like, how could you behave this way? But really sitting and digging into what she went through mm-hmm. Enables one to realize she was just in survival mode mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. And so mom had some to do with this, which also, you know, kind of goes back into the grief of her loss. And... sounds like your relationship has come a long way over the years, though.
We ended up with an amazing relationship.
Yeah.
And when I finally kind of went through my therapy, understood where she was coming from, really the last 2 years I spent trying to teach her how to be nicer to people. Mm-hmm. Be like, Mom, you can't say that to people. And, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And trying to help her say the right thing to my brother because they didn't have a good relationship because she was mean on the surface. Mm. And sometimes that's tough. Mm-hmm. But you got to dig deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a pretty cool woman.
Sounds like
she really was.
So I ask how this impacts your spiritual relationship.
Okay.
And in the last 20 years in psychology and coaching, we've kind of separated the spiritual from the emotional mental. And I'm adamant to, like, let's get these conversations back together. I think some of it is kind of a fear of proselytization, that you're going to, someone's going to tell you what to believe about your spiritual relationship. But we are spiritual beings, mm-hmm. and you've just lost your mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mapped out anger. Do you ever feel angry what do you call it? God, universe, eternity?
Not for many things. I'm really very much a believer that there's a gift in every opportunity or every situation. I did lose a friend to cancer last year. Mm-hmm. Who was the most beautiful woman?
What was her name?
Christina. And she was the most beautiful woman, and she did everything right, and she still didn't make it. She was so Christian and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. That makes people angry.
Because it's unjust.
Because it's unjust, exactly. Yeah. Because it's unjust. But am I angry at God? No, because I have the bigger picture. I have that, you know what? We all make decisions that impact our genetics and our DNA and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. We have to take responsibility for a lot of our own decisions that we make.
And her purpose might have just been.
And her purpose might have been, yes.
Yeah, it's not always.
Yeah.
Like in the case of my family, you know, there was nothing that we could have done lifestyle-wise to change the outcome.
And what a beautiful person she was in terms of preaching that it's okay. Mm-hmm. God will either heal me now or he'll heal me later. But an incredible woman. Mm-hmm. Yes. But overall, mm-hmm. I am so grateful, thankful mm-hmm. for my faith. I have an amazing church that I attend with amazing people who have supported me. And I have community, mm-hmm. and I think that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I feel for people that don't have that peace. Spirituality piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I think it's got to be part of our healing.
Yeah,
for sure, especially in grief. Right? I mean, I'm a part of. Some grief groups and every time someone brings up God, there's a couple in there that are so angry mm-hmm. and, you know, don't you have any answers besides God? And you don't have to call the spiritual relationship God. And oftentimes that comes from a conflict. And I talk about this a lot in my grief of really believing that God was going to heal my kids.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that creates a conflict.
Yes, it does. It does. It absolutely does.
So just, you know, bringing that to the surface. So thanks for sharing that. Yep. So then what we do here is, and we could go on forever, right?
Oh, yeah, that's not.
You did really good. But you see how asking these four questions mm-hmm. allows for that pattern so that when you are grieving right now and it's raw and you're going through that, you can separate them by what's going on and not letting like triggers or injustices make it worse for you. So we talked about not being heard just being a trigger in general, injustices causing that anger. We have two grief. We have mom and your friend Christina. Negative thoughts. And I'm sure you're a life coach. You know, you know how to handle these, mm-hmm. right? From an energy perspective, how much time do you think you're still fighting some of that? Even though I know you've worked it a lot.
I think daily negative thoughts come up. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with them.
Right. Thank you for being real and honest.
Yeah. And I think to be even more honest and blunt, uh-huh. sometimes you don't even know mm-hmm. that you've got negative thoughts going on.
Right.
You've just got a feeling that's not quite as joyful mm-hmm. and you don't even know why.
Yeah.
And so very often it's stopping. What's going on? Why do I, mm-hmm. why am I? And yeah, it's daily, it's constant, it's catching it. Mm-hmm. We have a saying about if you keep dwelling on it, it's like leaving your hand on a hot stove. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of that and how damaging
and
that is. Yeah, we do, but it's catching it.
Yeah, it's catching it.
It is catching and, it, mm-hmm. and then I'd love to say that I've got really good at catching it and then saying, okay, I'm going to let that go. Mm-hmm. I am better at letting it go more quickly.
Yeah.
But I still noodle on it
too
long, and then I'm like, okay, I've got to employ all these different things to let it go. But yes.
And that's what I tell people. Like, we know this is a trigger. We know, you know that when, you know, anger is probably from an injustice, right? So what can we, you know, what can you do to nip this in the bud faster, right?
Right.
Is what we kind of teach. And the difference between a negative thought and a core connection, and I'm not sure if not worthy to be heard is a core connection for you. Core connections I identify as kind of those negative thoughts that just keep coming up, and, you know, even after years of working through them, you still have to kind of fight them. Like, you know, for me, I'm not enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and so I'm always trying to do more to prove myself, right? Do you think that not worthy to be heard is a core connection for you? It does go back pretty far.
Yeah, I think not worthy, just not worthy, full stop, is a core connection that I am aware of and work really hard to nip in the bud very quickly.
Yeah.
But it is part of my core, yes, mm-hmm. that I just grew up.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, part of that whole growing up process that got deep in there.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal to be able to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you really can't heal what you don't understand.
Yeah.
So
if you want to go to page three. Right there.
Which one?
Yeah, this one.
Okay.
So this is, then I would have people like write down. We know that injustice is a trigger, so write injustice there.
I don't know where my pen went. Oh. Wait 1 minute. On this side or this side?
Yeah, in the box.
Do I hold it?
No, you can. Oh, look at that.
Look at that, yeah.
Grief, we have your mom and Christina. That's fine. There we go. The negative thoughts, not worthy. How would you rate that? On a scale of 1 to 10, let's just say on your bad day, because I know you do a lot of self-work.
Right.
And so, and I always talk about this, you know, as I am vulnerable with my negative thoughts. It's like, you know, when I was in my 20s, these things were 7s and 8s.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And now I'm, you know, 50, you know, it's, you know, a 2 on a good day, maybe a 4 or 5 on a bad day.
I'd say 3 on a bad day and 1 on a good day.
Okay. So let's just put 3 today.
3. Okay. Yeah. Just right there.
Yep.
Okay.
And what are some, and then do you have some anxiety and worry from, specifically from the things that we talked about today? You talked about your death and, you know, how your children, how that will impact your children. Is that something that you are anxious about? Is it on the forefront or?
No, I would say my anxiety that I feel usually relates back to not being worthy about something. So you talked about
performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's put performance there. I think that's...
Where do I warm up?
Yeah, performance.
Yeah, it's accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. And that anxiety, how would you rate that anxiety?
On a bad day, it could be as high as 6, mm-hmm. really okay. wanting to accomplish something.
Yeah. Injustices in your life now, we've talked about in the past, is there anything still coming up for you as your sons in adulthood or?
Yeah, there's always, there's always injustices around whether he's included, he's not included. So it's still there, whether he is given the opportunities that he needs to really excel.
Okay.
Something I occasionally get bent out of shape on, but not that often.
Okay. We'll just put son there to remind us to circle back to it.
Okay, put his name.
Okay. And it doesn't sound like there's any actual spiritual conflict.
No.
Good.
No.
Okay. So now we've taken that thought map and put it into some bite-size things, right? Unfortunately, with grief, we have to feel that pain. I talk about controlled grief a lot, like taking the time, maybe getting out old photos, sitting around with your girls and talking about your mom or, you know, kind of taking that time. Mm-hmm. To feel the pain, because we, you know, I don't, in these Western cultures, we just kind of like, oh, it's over. There's nothing else we can do about it.
Right.
We've got to move on. And I think, you know, it comes up in other ways. It comes up in other emotional things or even sometimes physical. Like you said yesterday, you just didn't feel well.
Yeah.
Like grief can be heavy. Can be heavy on the heart, and so I just, you know, encourage you in this process that let yourself feel that pain.
Mm-hmm.
But these are your power of choice, and we'll start with what I know you already do well. What do you do with your negative thoughts? What is your power of choice when those things pop up in your head?
I remember my true inner spirit. One of the things that we do in
and
the
who pro- is she?
She Just is me. This feisty, sassy, funny young thing.
Okay.
And she's still young in my internal
absolutely.
Spirit. And who is so worthy. It's one of the things we do in my program is we take a picture of, we look at a picture of when we were young and talk about who we see in that picture. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's a picture of myself when I was 2. Mm-hmm. And it literally changed my internal processing because I with the, sorry, the idea that, that little girl is still in me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my goodness, she was fun and loving. And so, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I,
is there a name to that process?
It's just really empathy for yourself.
Okay.
And that idea that you are identifying your true inner spirit. Mm. Because that true inner spirit never changes. It's mm-hmm. always in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to remember that it's in there. Mm-hmm. That was eye-opening for me.
Okay.
And beautiful.
Yeah, just use a few words to put, like, you're going to continue believing in this inner part of you. Love that. Love it.
Will that move up?
Yeah, it will if we do exactly the right thing. Don't worry about it.
That's fine. That's supposed to be on love, but that's okay.
Yeah. What about anxiety? What do you do? What is your power of choice there when that anxiety comes up for you?
That one, I usually go for a walk, change my situation, mm-hmm. Try and get out of the moment that I'm in.
Yeah.
Get more present.
Yeah. I'm going to grab this back yep. from you. And you probably know this, but I like to do a visual on this. You know, we always hear people say, don't be anxious. I think, you know, there's a Bible verse about it. You know, men are real good about this. Stop it. Just,
yeah.
don't be anxious, you know. And, you know, let's just say over here is panic anxiety, right?
Yep.
And, you know, it's this continuum. And, you know, oftentimes we're somewhere up here and we think the goal is to get here, to not being anxious.
Right.
And the reality is mild anxiety is actually productive. And so if we could take our 7 and make it a 3,
right.
we're actually being productive.
Right.
But then we beat ourselves up because we're like, don't be anxious. And what happens when you tell yourself, don't
right.
do something?
Yeah, then it's more.
then right. it's more, right? And so so some of those techniques that you're talking about are, you know, actual coping skills to bring that mm-hmm. down. I just like to remind people, we're not trying to get rid of it.
Right.
We're trying to use it as a superpower, right?
Yes. Yes.
I when think that's... we are mildly anxious about something, mm-hmm. we do really well.
Yes, that sense of, it's a little bit of it's the difference between feeling a little bit of adrenaline mm-hmm. versus full-on kind of
panic
and anxiety.
Yeah. yeah.
One of the
yeah.
things I love to tell people is to just go outside and put your feet in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Take your shoes off, put your yeah. feet in the grass if you've got grass.
Yeah.
And just feel the earth.
This is where I miss Florida because I like the sand, the water,
right.
the warmth, but yeah, finding that physical grounding is important.
I am not sure Florida in 80-degree high humidity.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, no, that's too hot for me. Too hot for me.
different yep. things, yeah. What else in power of choice? Is there anything you need to challenge yourself to do in one of these areas?
I think with Alex is really trying to step back and look at the big picture. We also have a process where you think of your older, wiser self looking back and trying to think whether this is something that you really want to make an issue of.
Mm.
Is it really going to impact Alex? Is mm-hmm. it, in the grand scheme of things, is it really a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is very helpful because sometimes you can get so caught up in the minutiae about things that he really doesn't care about, but I think are wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes, doesn't matter how hard I fight, the outcome is going to be the same.
Right.
So really yeah. kind of thinking back through your older, wiser, big picture self, is this really important?
Well, so, yeah. and I'll just tell you what's on my heart as you talk about that and whether it resonates or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know with my kids, I fought for them like they had no ability to fight for themselves. And,
mm-hmm.
and in in their passing, I have a connection with my daughter. And it has been brought to my attention how wise she was, even here. Like, that her soul is a very mature soul. And I think sometimes we look at special needs children as less mature, not lesser than, but less mature in spirit. And so maybe an activity similar to what you do to look at your inner self is like, who is he? Who is his spirit?
Yes. Don't think that necessarily works for the things that I get. If I'm upset with him, then yes, that is perfect. But he is, it's because I see how mighty he is that I get frustrated with situations. And I need to step back and say, you know what? Out of every situation, there comes a gift. So, and I need to remember that because I forgot that the other day. And now I can look back 2 days later and say, you know what? There was a gift out of all of that.
Well, and maybe even what is that person supposed to be learning? And less emotional charge for you on that.
Yes, that's
because I know what you're supposed to be learning.
But I think it's, whereas this, and you really hit the nail on the head, it is empathy for everybody concerned. Understanding that my husband has a saying, everybody, people do bad things with the best of intentions. That idea that just because they're not doing something that I think they should be doing doesn't mean they're doing it maliciously. Maybe they don't know any better.
And often, I think often they don't. I see this in racism, and I see this in, you know, how people look at special needs. Like, I didn't realize there was racism until I had black children. Like, I knew there was racism, but like the subtle racism, over my head, I think the same thing happens with special needs. Like, they're like, oh, I don't have a problem with special needs. I think they're, you know, but they don't actually know anything about them.
Yeah, I think they're great. They're all so lovely. Like, okay, right there. And you're right.
So we've been given a different path of enlightenment.
Exactly. And even that is such a blessing.
And we don't have time to go into detail, but what I do here is also making sure that people's decisions are in line with their personal vision, right? So we go over personal vision. You know, what kind of mother do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? I know you've done, you know, all of that work. But a lot of people are in a place where they're making day-to-day decisions.
Without even knowing.
Not even in line with what they say they want. And so I hope this was, you know, beneficial to kind of see things.
It's a beautiful process. I think, as we said at the very beginning, helping people understand even what they're feeling is so powerful. And then this process gives them a place to put it.
What did you learn today?
I did not know that I was angry at my mother. That was very interesting. And that there's more anger there than I had realized. And I just think I learned the power of kind of writing it down. And how easy it is to
go back to the first one. Well, and then when you look at it, you know, I say in the book, like, just meditate on this. Like, you know, and when you leave here today, we'll email this to you, like, digest it. And, you know, expect maybe even an emotional day because you just kind of let some things come to the surface.
You know what I'm taking away more than anything is how grateful I am for the work that I have done. Mm-hmm. How blessed I am that I have done all of the coaching courses that I've done. Mm-hmm. Because the ability to move into joy and see the gift is something I think so many people struggle with. Mm-hmm. And at one point I did too. Mm-hmm. But I know that I am actually going to walk away from here today feeling grateful.
Okay.
Even because even though this was hard, mm-hmm. I know it's there.
Right. And you're like, oh, I
know
that stuff.
Yeah, I know that stuff. It took me a long time to learn that stuff, which is why mm-hmm. this process is so incredibly mm-hmm. important.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, you can't heal until you know this stuff.
Right.
If I hadn't done the work that I have already done on my relationship with my mother, mm-hmm. this would have been really hard.
Mm-hmm. And it would have felt overwhelming.
Yes.
Like, you can look at it and go, okay, at least half of this stuff I already knew.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I see what I need to
yes.
do. And for you,
yep.
it's the time and the grief.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit more grief on Christina.
Yes.
You know, that's hard when someone our own age and...
Yeah. Yeah. She has two beautiful children. And one of them has just had a baby. Mm. And so that's yeah. where my heart hurts.
Yeah.
Not that she's not there in spirit and soul, mm-hmm. but I feel for Caitlin with this beautiful little baby and her mm-hmm. husband, and her mom's not there, and yeah. that's tough.
That is tough. That is tough.
But they are such an incredible family.
Yeah.
Again, I feel blessed. I got to coach Christina in between the first cancer and before the cancer came back again. Mm-hmm. And what a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And grief, you know, we want to fix grief like we want to fix the other things. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason I do the whole categories is because we can't fix grief. We have
right.
to actually feel that pain and stop making it feel, not normal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're supposed to cry that your mom has passed.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to cry and be emotional that your friend has passed and left a grandchild, you
yeah.
know. Those are normal, empathetic feelings.
Right.
It's when we allow them to get enmeshed with our triggers and the injustice
right.
and the anger. And,
yes.
And so separating yep. those things. And
yep. Yeah.
All good.
This was interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really connected that as much.
Mm-hmm.
That's something for me to walk away and ponder.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like you said, being present, like we can only influence whatever
right.
person we have right in front of us, right?
right? Mm-hmm.
And this is a huge cultural injustice,
yeah.
right? It's not just the person in front of you and,
right.
and you know, and that person is being influenced by the whole cultural injustice,
right.
But just trying to be present and,
right.
you know, influence those that are willing to be influenced.
I sit here and I think, oh, I need to change the world. And then I'm like, okay, I can do my little piece.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay to do my
yeah.
little piece, because if everybody's doing their little piece,
yeah.
then big things happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so awesome.
Thank you
so
much.
Do you do hugs?
Much.